WCBM, Baltimore.
It's time now for award-winning 21st Century Radio. Here's your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. This is the alleged Dr. Bob Hieronymus, a lowly PhD and a DFA and a few other degrees after that, hanging out in this part of the universe, and I can identify about 3% of it. That's pretty good these days. Tonight, we are being joined by one of the most remarkable women we've ever interviewed, Carolyn E. Cabello, a master in social work, is director of Akasha Institute, a highly regarded psychotherapist, spiritual healer, and channel for Divine Mother Mary. And she is the author of The Power of Sacred Space. Welcome to 21st Century Radio, Carolyn, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
Now, well, Sacred Space Film. Could you tell us about the process of making your new film, Sacred Space, Searching for the Source?
Yes, I'd love to. It's an introductory film, basically, and it talks about what is sacred space. And so the film sort of touches on different things, like the Native American view of sacred space, what are ley lines, how does the medicine wheel work, how the Mayans view sacred space, how a personal altar can create sacred space, how does Feng Shui create sacred space. It's sort of an overview of different ways of approaching sacred space. And then we're already working on another, my daughter Sophie and I are working on another one about Southeast Asia sacred places and how their spirituality influences their view of sacred space and their view of spiritual architecture.
Well, what do you think will happen in the society when the principles of sacred space gain mainstream acceptance?
Well, I think people will certainly have a different view of native cultures and their sacred places, for one. I think they'll have a really surprise when they realize that the earth itself has this healing power that can actually heal diseases, it can heal emotions. But it's just a matter of education, I think. But it's there. And actually, I think we'll have a greater sense of our global interconnectedness, and maybe that will help with healing the differences.
Undoubtedly it will. I think it will change our planet as we know it today.
Do you?
Yes, I do. Sacred spaces, the more that are created, eventually they're going to start overlapping. And when they do that, my heavens, the entire planet could be a sacred place again. A very large sacred space. But, you know, it would be a place where we could advance our personal spiritual growth considerably in comparison to what we're stuck with today.
Yes, I think so. It could be a really strong catalyst.
And so that's the reason why
we need...
That's why I wanted to congratulate you for doing this, dear. You've been doing this a long time.
Thank you.
You have laid the foundation, haven't you?
I hope I have.
What do you mean, your hope? Of course you have, honey. Of course you have.
Well,
I mean, you are a very dedicated soul.
I am.
And, you know, this is really your life. This is not something that you're going out there just to make a living on. This is something that is deeply involved with, not just in my opinion, this particular lifetime, but probably multiple lifetimes. I apologize if I've stepped over out of bounds here in saying that, but I mean, it seems to me that you've gathered all your stuff together over millenniums and decided to create a foundation in a very sacred space in a very sacred country. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm just so proud that you've joined us here on 21st Century Radio.
Oh, that's very nice.
Okay, now, you've written a new book of channeled material called Soul Evolution with the Zarathustra Wisdom for 2012. What do you believe will happen in the 2012 shift?
Well, I can't say I know anything for sure because things are changing so fast. I know something really interesting, and I'm not alone with this. In the early 80s, when I began channeling, I was with a group in New York, and we all sort of independently could feel that there was going to be a tremendous change coming up. We didn't know when, but relatively soon, with floods and tsunamis and earthquakes. And we all independently came up with this. And yet, between that time and now, a lot of things have shifted on Earth inside people's hearts. And I think that those sort of prophetic thoughts, I think that it's not that way now. I think we've shifted a lot of the turmoil that the Earth is feeling and that we are individually feeling, and we continue to shift very fast into a much more harmonious and balanced place. So in terms of 2012, what I see happening, I can, at least in general, is that, well, we'll move more towards global interaction and global government in some ways, hopefully positive, just because we'll become more interdependent. Now, what will be the catalyst for that? I hope won't be what we saw back then, which was all these natural disasters. There could be some. They're already happening right now with these floods and, mostly floods, it seems, earthquakes too, but everyone, I would imagine, all over the world is being challenged in their own way, challenged to face their fears, challenged to become truthful,
mm-hmm.
challenging to become knowledgeable, a sense of community, a sense of being a part of a whole. And then for some people, this stress, which I would imagine everybody listening, including me, and apparently you too, the stress is increasing, but it's like how we manage it, how we find our balance, how we stop blaming ourselves for things that go wrong, and how we stop, you know, loving each other and being open to what is really our truth and general truth. So as we do that, you know, it's a fine line. We to grow spiritually and emotionally, we have to be pushed. There has to be challenges in our lives.
Yes.
But we just don't want too many.
Well, certainly. But, you know, as you know, there have been so many groups that have been visualizing positively over, I mean, I'm talking about decades of this.
Yeah, yeah.
That it appears to me that work that has been going on for decades has mitigated a great deal more of what we would have been suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of those kind of things that it becomes successful, but one becomes successful at doing this, but at the same time, claiming credit for it would be kind of ridiculous, because that's
right.
What we're supposed to be doing on this planet anyway.
Well, they're actually doing it in Australia and India, Thailand, Tibet. So, and what's beautiful about all this is that all the people that have been doing it are sort of coming out and sharing that with other people, and by doing that, we create an even greater force.
Yes. Yes, that's right. And that's why I mentioned, like last segment or so, you're laying the foundation, especially in dealing with sacred space, is the kind of thing, well, many of us work in the direction of that, but you have stuck to it. Many of individuals that I knew have withdrawn from that area because economically it's a hard thing to do.
It is. It is.
It is not easy to serve others from that standpoint, and that's why I think your work is so important, because you're a good example of serving without expecting anything in return.
Right. That's true.
And that's really key to having prayers answered, which I think is why the more sacred space we have, the better from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So. One last question in this area. How do you think, how can we heal the earth? From your perspective, what is the best way to do that?
I'm sure there's many ways. My particular way would be for people to go to sacred places and do ceremonies and help release any negative energy, pain, and fear that's held there. The earth has a energy field just like we do, with chakras and painful trauma and it's a living being. So it's kind of like when we go there and we support the earth, and through our beings, we can help release, like in a battlefield, you can help release all the souls and the pain that's held in that space. I used to do that all over the world. And
congratulations, boy! That is something to do. Because most people.
It sounds like it, but it really wasn't too hard for me. I think it just comes naturally, and as you said, I think I've done it before.
Yeah.
And so when people gather in these places and they share their opening and their love and their caring, I think the earth feels it, and it's just like we. If you put your hand on somebody, a healing hand on somebody, and on the chakra, let's say, and that releases the pain and the fear and all the negative experience that person has had in this lifetime and others, we can do the same for the earth. And then that, in turn, will help the earth stay in balance. I think the danger is, as I can see it, is the polar shift. And I have thought this for many, many years, and once I was in northern Spain, walking across the Camino del Santiago, it's a pilgrimage place in northern Spain, of course, northern Spain, and went to a little chapel, and there was a box of relics. There was nobody in the chapel. I was with a few people. We were taking a pilgrimage together, and I put my hand out to that box of relics, and I don't even know who it was, and all of a sudden I had this image of how the earth was suspended in space, interconnected with planets and stars and, kind of close to us and really far away. There was all this network of connection. And a lot of things that are taking place now are headed towards trying to keep the Earth stable.
Yes.
And not shift. And I know my work is greatly involved in that, and so are many, many people in many different ways. And already I think it's helped. I don't know. I can't say what is going to happen. I don't think it's going to be a big shift. Right now, I don't think so. But with all our work, we can have a difference. We can make a difference.
But certainly, I think that human beings, having the divinity within them, can make one heck of a difference.
So, that's right.
Where, it's not that stones and vegetables and animals aren't sacred, because they are, but when we can become conscious of ourselves and conscious of assisting others and helping others, it makes a very big difference.
It does.
And especially if we take care of our animal brethren. Now, our guest, of course, is Carolyn Cobello, and we're now going to talk a little bit about the key book, Soul Evolution, with Zarathustra, Wisdom for 2012. Now, dear, you've been channeling Mother Mary and Zarathustra for 30 years. How did you get started? How did you get started in channeling?
Well, it's interesting. Let's see. My sister had twins with an Italian man, and one of the twins died in 2 months from crib death. And I was at the wake, and an Italian Buddhist practitioner came up to me, and she said, "You have light coming out of your hands. You should study healing." So I went back to New York. I believed her, and found a person to teach me about healing and channeling. And her name was Barbara Brennan, and she's gone on to be quite
Barbara awesome. Brennan.
Mm-hmm.
You studied under Barbara.
First class.
Yes, I'll tell you, she's great. She is. No, she's legendary.
Two legends together,
you guys. That's wonderful.
Well, kind of. I studied with her for a while, and then I went off on my own, and I started teaching a combination of transpersonal psychology, channeling, and laying on of hands. It was similar to what she taught, but I just went in my own particular way. So as I developed spiritually, different guides came to me. My first one was in her class, and it was someone that looked like an Iroquois Indian, a man, a very big man with a little topknot hair and a feather in it, big muscular man, and he chanted. That's all I said was, I just spoke chants. And then gradually he left, and Zarathustra appeared, and I didn't even know who Zarathustra was. And so Barbara first saw him, and then gradually I saw more and more of him. He was a man. He had a little pill kind of hat on, and multicolored robes. And the interesting thing was, I didn't really see what his face looked like until just before Mary came in. And he had beautiful blue eyes and a beard, gray beard, and very friendly, very vibrant. But for some reason, I wasn't supposed to see his face. I'm not sure why. But meanwhile, I started channeling him for myself, but also for groups. And this book came out of lectures and then just personal channeling that I did with him. Mary came afterwards. He sort of faded off into the distance. I think it was because I began to heal a lot of my own emotional issues with my father or with the masculine. And so what I needed to go into was more healing of the feminine. And so then Mary appeared. And I channeled her for 2 years before I asked what her name was. And I was raised as a Unitarian, so I was very surprised that Mary, Mother of Jesus, would come to me. I didn't believe in God growing up or anything except for Jesus was a great prophet. But I think that made it easier. And also when I started taking people to sacred places, myself first, doing that acupuncture work and then later taking people, Mary would always appear. Her voice would always, her energy was in all these places for healing the earth, for healing the people who had died there, for healing the people that were there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just grew more and more close to her, and then ended up writing a book with her, and she's still here.
And
Zarathustra's still here. I've actually moved on. Well, not moved on, but added to my repertoire, I guess. I'm now chanting healing chants from the language of light. And I think it's like a conglomeration of many entities. It's not just one spiritual guide. It's very, very high energy. And I just recorded a CD with chants for healing all kinds of diseases, for like AIDS and digestive problems, skin problems, arthritis, a lot. I can't remember. It must have been like, I think, 20, 25 diseases, plus the healing the heart, the emotional heart, and helping people realize their soul's purpose. And it just came on very strongly. So that's another, that's my latest form of channeling. But this book came out with my actually strongly, that was in the early 80s, and this is a revision sort of update of it, partly because of my personal evolution. I later, when I was rewriting the book, I asked, which I had never asked before, did I know him in a past life? And he said, and let me see, I have it right here, he said, you and I were soulmates in the time that I was Zarathustra. We could not marry, for I was spoken by another, but our hearts knew each other in all ways. And he goes, and I was a servant that came to him, yet an angel beholden unto no one. So that's the kind of, that's the way he speaks, those words.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite different than Mary.
Well, Mary is, as I've mentioned a little earlier, we have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Marys here with me tonight, besides yourself, dear. Yeah, no, we have one of the wonderful things about having your broadcast studio in your home. Because, you know, just like this is a sacred space, and in this sacred space we have all the loving beings that have healed infinite numbers of souls in many different ways, and of course they're helping us right this very moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're never alone.
Right.
And this is one of the things that is so hard for us being in these physical bodies, and we lose our loved ones, and they're still with us, but unfortunately we can't necessarily see them. And so we're suffering more than they are. And
That's right.
And it is so sad because soon, as we get older, more and more of our friends that from this lifetime and others have passed on. But Mary has been a great inspiration to our family. And, of course, my wife is Jewish. And she calls quite a stir amongst the rabbis.
Well, probably Mary was originally Jewish, so...
Yes, I know. And that's what she said, you know. Well, you know, what do you expect? Jesus was a Jew. Mary was a Jew. So, you know, what do you expect?
Well, what's interesting is I put it in my book. My image of Mary, although she feels, I'm sure, one incarnation of she was the mother of Jesus, but in this, I also saw her when I was helping people cross over. The image of her was this large spirit with multicolored light skirt, huge skirt, a female with feathers, a kind of an owl face, human, but had an owl look to it. So it didn't look at all Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely still the vibration of unconditional love and just that wonderful feminine support.
Okay. Now, the reason why we normally do not have many channelers on 21st Century Radio is because many of the ones that I have interviewed over the last couple of decades did not take care as to who they were channeling.
Oh.
And that can be a problem.
It can be.
And yeah. You, and that's one of the good things about your book, the one that came out, Soul Evolution with Zarathustra. You approach it, really, in my opinion, scientifically, spiritually scientifically, in the sense as to what can and cannot be accomplished along those lines. But how do you know when you're connected to spirit and not ego or one of the other forces which are just trying to inveigle your interest?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question. I know when I started, after the Iroquois Indian, I would be sitting, waiting for him to come, and then I felt other energies trying to come in, and one way I knew this was not good is I felt uncomfortable. I felt like, go away, I don't want you to be near me. And luckily, they did go away. I think it's a matter of personal selection, I guess you could say, but also knowing yourself, being sensitive enough to know, okay, this is not okay. I say no to this. Just like you would say no to a person you would meet or a situation that you knew wouldn't be good for you. It's the same thing. I would always ask for the highest and I forgot exactly what I would say, but the highest and most beneficial energy. But after a while, both Zarathustra, I mean, that we were so close, I didn't doubt them at all.
And you can visit Carolyn online at akashaentertainment.com, and that is linked on the front page of 21stcenturyradio.com, so you don't have to remember how to spell it. All right. Now, Carolyn, one last question about Mother Mary. If someone is interested in channeling Mother Mary or Zarathustra, can they do it?
Well, I think it's kind of like if you have an affinity towards that energy in other lifetimes, if your soul is connected to it, it's a lot easier, I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
But with the messages that these spiritual forces, I think they're much more than just simply guides, these spiritual forces have, anybody can benefit and can enter into that vibration of that particular spiritual force. And like for reading a book or reading the channel material, the words and the way it's said, in some ways even my voice, helps that person listening to reach, to raise their consciousness so they can enter into that same state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so it's not, yeah.
Well, that's one of the important things about your book, Soul Evolution with Zarathustra. It is so well written that you're not going to have trouble in understanding these particular, let's say, rituals or methods by which to do this. And that's a difficult thing to do in a verbal form. It really is. Now, by the way, I haven't seen this yet, but you have an Avalon Temple of Connection board game. Could you tell us about this board game called Avalon Temple of Connection? And what gave you the inspiration, and what do people do in it?
Well, it's a spiritual board game. You can play it alone or with a group. It incorporates sound, light, healing modalities, movement. And it came to me after my husband died in a car accident. I was severely traumatized, and I was looking everywhere for healing modalities that would really help me. And I tried a lot of different ones, and they all helped a little bit. And then I was sitting in the chapel in Chimayo, which is near Santa Fe, New Mexico. And this is an ancient pilgrimage place, and it's in our first film, the Sacred Sacred Space film. There's a little description of it, and when I'm there. And I was sitting in the church. I would go to a hot spring and then to this little chapel every week to try to find whatever could make me feel better. And as I sat there, I brought a piece of paper, which I usually do, a notebook or something, to see what's coming through. And this whole design of this game came. And it's all about a sacred journey based on the design of a sacred temple. And it actually helps us move into a healing space. It clears past karma. I don't really myself understand the whole thing yet, but examples would be, there are cards in the beginning. You pick karma cards. These are issues that you may have come into this lifetime to heal. And I remember one of them was, one of my classic one is lost a child in childbirth. And this woman was trying to get pregnant, and she couldn't get pregnant. And she did the game, and she got pregnant two or 3 months later. After years and years of trying not to not being able to. And what happened was her like core memory system shifted so that she released that pain of losing a child, and so she was more able to receive another child without fear. That's just an example.
I see. Yeah. Well, you've also written a book called Esteban Ascension. I didn't pronounce that correctly.
Oh, that's fine.
Esteban Ascension, which you're giving away for free on your website. That's extraordinary. Can you tell? By the way, friends, you know, I just wanted to point something out here, and that is, many times, that's one of the ways you can tell about a genuine teacher. And that is, they are so dedicated to helping and assisting and serving others that many times they're so generous, like Carolyn is. I mean, this is an extraordinary thing to do, as far as I'm concerned. It's not the normal thing that happens on the websites, by the way. Can you tell us about the fascinating story behind this book and what inspired you to write it?
Well, it is that man that died, that inspired me to create Avalon, died in a car accident. I was in the car in Spain, and we were just driving along going to Cordoba, and all of a sudden, I think he went to sleep, and an hour and a half later, he was dead in an operating room in a hospital that was half a tent. So I just knew, as soon as we drove into the hospital with a drunk ambulance driver and a tent, I knew that I just had to surrender to this.
Oh, my.
And so I did, and he did die, which was incredibly shocking to me. And so during the course of the next couple of days and later, I used every strength, every talent, every intuition I had to stay communicating with him. Because I was so, I'm even going to cry, I was so sad to lose him so suddenly. And this book is a result of it's talking about all the different ways I could communicate him, and for me, these are real. And one of the outstanding ones is that I was in a hotel, and I was afraid to go to sleep because I was afraid to lose this connection. And finally, after 36 hours, I couldn't stay up anymore. And so I said, okay, I'm going to go to sleep. And there were twin beds in the room, and I looked over, and he was there. He was lying there about four inches maybe above the bed, straight, kind of transparent looking, wearing the same shirt, same clothes he was wearing when he died. And I just knew that he appeared to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And so this book is about that and the many different other things that happened to me to pass on to other people, that we don't die, we just change form, go into the spirit world. And I also teach, and all my work is about my own experience, so that's a real one.
Mm-hmm. Now, what future projects are you working on, hon?
I have quite a few, actually.
I bet you do.
I have more Sacred Space movies, as I spoke earlier. I'm working with my daughter Sophie on that, and two of our friends are, well, one husband, one boyfriend, who are cameramen, and we are going to create at least four more. And then I have three screenplays that I have in development, set in Bali, India, and Mexico. These are feature films, spiritually based, somewhat related to my experience, or somewhat autobiographical, and it's about the fight between black magic and spirit communication. I have CDs that I just created about things like crossing over, creating the life you want, Mother Mary speaks, Sacred Space, and the healing CD I told you about, and a new travel guide based books based on my experiences in different sacred places in Europe, Southeast Asia, the Middle East, and it's all about where the power places are, how you access them. It's a different take on a travel book.
Well, hon, with the last minute or so we got here, what would you like to leave with our listening audience this evening on January the 2nd, 2011?
Well, I'll just channel a quick little message from Mary.
Thank you, dear.
Okay. My beloved ones, be alone within the whole. Be whole within the aloneness. Do not be afraid that love will not be with you, for it always is, as I am.
Amen. Thank you, dear.
Okay.
Thank you, Carolyn. I look forward to talking with you again in the future and learning more and more about what you do.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome, dear. And we'll be seeing you soon.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye.